It was good to go through that song and go over the psalm. I like the wording, how different it is in some of the places. But meanwhile, was thinking of the favorite psalm and it being 23. And what started out off to be favorite is back in the third grade. The church decided that there was enough boys and girls for there to be a third grade boys and a third grade girls. So me and my rowdy friends, we were cutting up, having a good time, waiting for the new teacher to come in. And when she came in, we were awestruck because we didn't know that young Mrs. Brown was going to be our teacher. And we stopped cutting up and we listened to what she said. And the first thing she said is, I have a prize for anyone who will memorize Psalm 23. And us little guys, we stepped over ourselves trying to memorize that psalm just so that she would smile in our direction, because she was just amazing. Such a beautiful woman would be our teacher. Well, what I later found out was Mrs. Brown, Nancy Ann Brown, formerly was Nancy Ann Reynolds. And when she would do her Sunday school lessons, she put her whole self into it. She was animated. And when David struck down Goliath, she swung her sling around and you could see that giant fall. And found out later on, her little brother was named Bert. And Bert went to Palm Beach Junior College and he got interested in acting and he became Bert Reynolds, the Hollywood star. So that was her little brother. We could see that there was a lot of talent in that family. She encouraged us to look through Psalm 23 and to memorize it. And it's been a help ever since. When Tim Mallion was here, we were going through a study in the life of David. And we got to the part where David and his men came back to Ziklag, the town that they were living in, and found it to be empty. Some raiders had come and taken all his family and burned the city and the families of his 600 men. And Tim emphasized David refreshed himself in the Lord. And at that time, he suggested that Psalm 23 was one of those psalms that was really refreshing as you go through it. And then after David refreshed himself, he said to the priest's son that was with him, bring me the ephod. And he began to ask the Lord questions. And Tim made sure that once we went through, if we were refreshed in Psalm 23, the ephod we have today with us is the scriptures. That if we have questions about what the Lord has for us or what the Lord wants us to do in a particular situation, there are plenty of examples in the scriptures for us to go to and get some of our answers. So looking at Psalm 23, it starts off, the Lord is my shepherd. And the main word right there is mine. If the Lord Jesus is not your shepherd, if he's not your savior, then your future is bleak. But if you accept the Lord as your savior, then the rest of the things that go on in this psalm and essentially the rest of the things in the scriptures are very meaningful to you. So beginning, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Now, it doesn't mean that we won't want things. There's a lot of things that we want, but he will provide the things that we need, being our shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, right now, we just moved into this place and it doesn't have a yard. Out back, there's just a pile of dirt and rocks. But someday, we're going to have a plot of grass. And remember from the house we had before, our backyard had a nice green little patch of lawn. And after a hard day at work, it was nice to come home in that shady backyard and just kind of sit for a little while and think about how the Lord had carried me through the day and the many things, many blessings that he had given us. So being in a patch of green grass was just very relaxing. So he makes me lie down in green pastures. And for a shepherd, think that they were in the wilderness down there and in the Middle East. So for a shepherd to know where green pastures are to take his flocks was really important. So our shepherd, our good shepherd, knows where those green pastures are. He knows what we need, and he knows how to provide it. So he provides us green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And again, this isn't running water or water that's like running rapids. These are still waters that are, again, they're quiet, they're relaxing, and it's fresh and cold to drink. So he provides us that type of refreshment. So making us lie down in green pastures, ways of refreshment, besides still waters, ways of refreshment. The Lord provides for us refreshment. David, when he was going through that hard time, refreshed himself in the Lord, remembering how the Lord had supplied him, how the Lord helped him with Goliath and events that took place after that. So when David is walking about the shepherd, he's thinking of a good shepherd that would lead him and provide for him. Verse 3, he restores my soul. And that's an important part, to have our souls restored, to know that he is watching over us and providing for us, that our future is secure in him being our shepherd. Now, part about a shepherd, the shepherd is, when he starts off, this, the Lord is not my cattle prod. He doesn't walk behind us with a stick and smacking us when we take the wrong direction. The Lord's out front as a shepherd, and we, as if we're wise sheep, we will follow him. And if we follow him, then he can restore our souls and provide for us. But we have to follow him and stay close to him and go where he goes. So he says, verse 3, he restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So he knows the right paths to go, but he's out in front. And if we're going to be wise sheep, we have to follow the shepherd. So if we follow him in these paths of righteousness for his namesake, that those are the right paths that he takes. If we follow him at the end, then we will get his blessing. If we don't follow him, there's a lot of paths that are off to the side. And we can go wandering, and we can get ourselves in trouble. And then sometimes when we get ourselves in trouble, then he has to come and rescue us. But the wise sheep is the one that follows the shepherd through these paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and even as we follow our shepherd, the path that he takes may be straight, but it's a path that goes up and it's a path that goes down. As sheep, our desire may be to not have to suffer, but that's not necessarily the Lord's purpose, is to keep us from suffering. But being our shepherd, he will lead us through those difficult times. And as we're suffering, he is right there with us. And he has gone through those kinds of things before. So he knows what we need. Even as we're going through suffering, he knows how to comfort us. So yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's not necessarily death, it's a shadow. And the shadow really of something can't really hurt. It's whatever's making the shadow that you have to be careful of. We used to play the game with I had little brothers and sisters. And when the sun was shining outside, I'd say, I'm going to step on your shadow. And we'd chase each other around, trying to stepping on shadows. It didn't really hurt, but if they thought that if I stepped on their shadow, they'd be stuck and they couldn't move. So we don't have to worry about the shadow itself. It's whatever is making the shadows. And the Lord Jesus is the one that carries us through. So whatever is making those shadows, he'll take care of. So we don't have to worry about going through the valley of the shadow. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And again, it's important for us to know the shadow, that we need not fear the shadow or the evil that's there. because the Lord is with us. Like the poem that came out about the footsteps, we look back and we think, well, the footsteps are where we were by ourselves. And the Lord says, no, when you see one set of footsteps on the sand, it's because I was carrying you. So that's when the Lord will sometimes, when we need rescuing, will pick us up and put us on his shoulders, and there's only one set of footsteps, and that's when he is carrying us along. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now the comfort of the shepherd carrying the rod and the staff as he's walking in front is, we know that if there's anything dangerous with the rod and the staff, he can handle it. Those are his essentially weapons. When David had encountered lions and bears, besides the sling, he had his staff. So he was able to take care of things like that, helping the sheep out. A shepherd's crook is called a shepherd's crook. It usually has sort of a curl on the end, and it's so the shepherd can reach down and rescue sheep when they get in trouble. So it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And the idea here is that he does prepare a table. The Lord is always providing for us, preparing for us, even in the presence of our enemies. And it's a time, one of the thoughts here is that in the Middle East, if you went into the tent of a friend, then you were under his protection, and he would provide whatever you needed. And if someone was chasing you, then, and you went into the tent of the friend, they would have to wait outside while your friend attended you. So essentially, the Lord is providing for us, even though we might be surrounded by those who would desire to hurt us. He still provides for us in every way. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And the idea there is that the anointing the head of oil is we're being selected. When David was selected as king, Samuel anointed his head with oil as the king. So the Lord has chosen us. We are his shepherd. We have chosen him. But before that, he has chosen us. And we can rest in knowing that we have been chosen. Our heads have been anointed with oil. And therefore, our cup overflows. We have more than we really realize we have. We have many blessings in him. Again, some we don't recognize. But verse 6 says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and love. Sometimes we don't see goodness and love in front of us or at the present. But if we look behind us, we see how the Lord has provided us, how he has given us goodness and love. When David refreshed himself in the Lord, he was remembering all the things that the Lord had done for him, provided for him in the past. So when he looked back and saw how the Lord had provided for him, even in that particular event, when he was going out to war with the Philistines, he was on their side. He was hiding from Saul with the Philistines. And when it came time for war, the Philistine commander said, we don't want David going out to war with us. Send him away. And that's when God, through the Philistine king, sent David away. When he did, he didn't have to fight against Saul, which David would not like to have done anyway, because Saul was the Lord's anointed. But when he went away, he arrived just in time to see that his family and all the families of all of his men had been captured and taken away. So once he refreshed himself in the Lord told him, when David asked, shall I go and chase after them? And the Lord said, yes. And then David said, if I do, will you restore my family to me? And the Lord said, yes. And David had a victory in that battle and everything. He recovered all of his families and the families of his men, as well as a great amount of captured goods that they had been raiding from other places. So it was a success for David. But he was able to look back Then, after those times, was able to look back and see how the Lord had carried him through those difficult situations. So if we look back, we see how the Lord has followed us with goodness and mercy. And we know that helps direct us in the way that we're going. And the old days, like the pictures of ships and some of the old ship captains, the way they were able to tell if their ship was on course was they would look out at the stern and they would see their wake. And if their wake was straight in the back, they knew that the wind was not blowing them off course. But if the captain looked over the stern and he saw the wake that his boat was making was curved, he knew that his boat was being blown off course and he could take precautions to get it back on course. So sometimes we look back and we see how the Lord has taken us. We see what's in our wake. We know and we get ideas, we get direction as to how we should go forward. Surely goodness and love shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And for David, that was comfort to know that he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's for us. If the Lord is our shepherd, we know that we've got an eternity that's being prepared for us. Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I will come and take you to be with me. So we've got that to look forward to. A place that's being prepared for us. So that's a psalm that has been helpful all through the years. After memorizing it soon, there were times like going on the first Boy Scout camping trip that laying there on the hard ground and thinking it'd be nice to be in my own bed, and especially when it rained. Sometimes it's nice to be in your warm bed when you're being rained on. And you think of mom's cooking the next day when you get up and eat eggs that have pine needles and sand in it. So it was good to have this psalm memorized. And there were times when I lay down on the hard ground and started memorizing or thinking about this psalm. And as I did, next thing I knew, birds were waking me up the next morning. So this psalm was really something to help settle us down if we refresh ourselves in the Lord. And then the other favorite was Psalm 121. And the part of there was a little story that when I first started with working with the city, it was in street inspections. And one of the first days out, I was looking at the street and saw something shiny. And I was supposed to check a bus stop because a bus stop had a large amount of street problems. I was supposed to check it out and take some pictures. And I went over to the shiny part, and it was a penny. And I looked around and looked like somebody had emptied their pockets of change right around this bus stop. Because as I picked up all the shinies, I had just about $2 worth of coins from that one bus stop. So as I made my report, I went back to my truck, and as I got in, J. Vernon McGee was talking on Psalm 121, and he was saying, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And he went on to say that the things of earth, like money and fame and fortune and those things, weren't what's important. What was important was the Lord, and the Lord is the one that helps us. So I thought of this pocket of change that I had just picked up and began to think whenever I saw a shiny on the street and picked it up, it reminded me to look up because that's where my help really came from, not from the money that I would get down here on earth. But going through the rest of the 121 Psalm, he says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? And his thought there, one of the thoughts was that this is called a psalm of ascents, and the Jews would sing this as they were traveling up the road going from the Jordan River area up to Jerusalem as they traveled up. And when they would look up, they would see where the temple is in the mountain in Jerusalem, the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, was a big cloud that covered the top of the temple and went into the sky. And as they looked up, they would be reminded that it was the Lord that was their help, it was the Lord they were going to worship as they went up there. And they realized that the Lord was their help. So as they looked up, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And that's a good reminder there. The maker of heaven and the earth, the creator. And then the rest of the verses 4 through 8. The important word in these verses is watch or watches. As I read through, listen how many times the word watch or watches is there. Verse 3, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. The word there is the word watch. He will not let your foot slip. He watches over you, will not slumber. And there are times when we may think that the Lord isn't watching what's happening, but he is. He's watching. He's in control. The Lord's not sleeping through this virus that's surrounding the world. He's watching what's going on. And like we were praying, there might be reasons for this virus going around the world. God has his purpose. He's not up there asleep waiting to wake up. He's watching over everything that's going on. Indeed, he who watches over Israel is being watched over. And even now, there are groups even in our country here who would like to see Israel go under, but that's not going to happen. The Lord is watching over Israel, and he still has purposes for Israel. So indeed, he who watches Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. He is your shade at your right hand. And think for Israel, while they were in the wilderness, in the daytime, they were covered by a huge cloud that shaded them in the daytime. And then the pillar of fire kept them at night. So the Lord is the shade that keeps watch over us during the day and watches over us at night. So we need not fear at night that the Lord has gone to sleep. He doesn't sleep. He watches over us at all times. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. And another reason that's a favorite is that the Lord is watching over our life, each and every one of us. He knows what our future is, and we are in his hands. If we are his shepherd, he is watching over us, taking care of us, and he wants us to follow close after him as our shepherd. Verse 8, the Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And again, he's watching over everything that we do, whether we're coming or going, everything that we do, the Lord is watching over. He's providing as a shepherd. He's watching over us. So that's why these two psalms have been favorites of mine. And just knowing that the Lord is there and he is watching over each one of us, that's a real encouragement. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for these psalms that do refresh us, do encourage us, refresh us in you. And thank you, Father, for these promises at the end that you do watch over us. You watch over all that is going on. You watch over your children, your dear sheep. You watch over Israel. And the things that are happening in the earth today are things that you are watching over. You have your purposes. And when those purposes are over, things will change. We just thank you, Father, for knowing that you are there. You are creator of heaven and earth, and we can put our faith and our trust in you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.